An ancient, unknown super civilization endured for 930 years. Technologically advanced, highly developed in computing, machining, engineering, aerial flight, the building craft, and with developed philosophies. This was 7,200 years ago during the two suns period when there was no moon in the sky. A great sun ruled the day and a lesser sun ruled the night. Reptiles, amphibians, flora, and marine life grew to colossal sizes. They excelled in learning and discovered the harrowing truth that they existed within a simulacrum, a programmed reality. Debates raged. Research led to discoveries. They began to deconstruct the simulacrum by performing their own simulations. Uncovering the startling truth that many life forms and phenomena they took for granted were actually living fossils from prior world simulations. Their reality environment was manufactured, a holography of superimposed simulated worlds. A minority emerged who opposed any further attempts to escape the containment, their own simulations leading to one harrowing conclusion. The simulacrum, out of self-preservation, maintained dormant cataclysm protocols to prevent escape by those that were confined within it. This minority was led by a female who predicted that the simulacrum would enact cataclysm protocols to prevent further interference. Her resistance grew to full-scale war, and she with her forces were defeated in the 600th year of the Two Suns period. Simulations continued. The defeated were policed, while the victors prepared secret facilities to enable survival when the simulacrum would retaliate. 330 years after the Great War, in the 930th year of this civilization, the simulacrum activated the Phoenix weapon. It appeared like a fiery red dragon out of the Cygnus Rift. The Daystar went dark. The lesser light that ruled the night as a smaller sun became the only sun in the sky. A horrendous cataclysm reset the biosphere. The ecosystem could no longer support the gigantic flora and fauna. Thousands of volcanoes, sinkholes, subsidence, and quakes changed the continent. Land masses were buried in mud from the sky, volcanic resurfacing and widespread lava flows, and new bodies of water appeared. In a 3-hour period, the simulacrum had ended 90% of all life within it. Most of the residual surviving life forms from simulations prior to the 930-year Two Suns period were now lost. For 270 years, the world was a frozen waste. The simulacrum reset was absolutely necessary. Those confined must be convinced that they live in a real world. Because escape is possible. Remnants of the victor faction survived with much of their technology intact by preparing for the Phoenix catastrophe. They waited out the destruction in deep earth biospheres, many of which became mass graves, facilities totally drowned or buried under new land surfaces. These advanced survivors came to be known as the Annuna. Other survivors on the surface were reset by the Phoenix apocalypse, Neolithic hunter-gatherers. They remembered the matriarch and her prophecy of the destruction of the world, but had forgotten their sciences and their advanced histories. The Annuna set up walled enclosures called Edens and began extensive mining for metals and quarrying for building materials. Soon they began enslaving the Neolithic populations that outnumbered them 100-1. In the Annuna databases were records of this 930-year period, the discoveries they made, and the activation of the Phoenix weapon. In the 270th year, the Simulacrum introduced a new program simulation in the current running holography. In 4039 BC, an observatory was introduced into the sky. The moon appeared for the first time in history and caused the capture flood. Neolithic survivors by this time elevated the memory of the matriarch and her prediction of the doomsday to a goddess-venerating religion. Anuna excelled in technology while the Neolithic goddess worshippers excelled in sympathetic magic, mastering the neural link between the psyche and the simulation. Anuna mining and quarrying operations were halted in a series of disasters and widespread flooding in the year 4039 BC. The Simulacrum also introduced a new programmed human type, once referred to as the Igigi. Morally bankrupt, devious and cunning, hateful of every other human type, the descendants of the Igigi continue today in 2020 to vex the rest of the world. The Igigi disguise themselves as humans, but they are not. They pretend to be a certain people, but it's a front, misdirection. They quickly went to work against all the designs and plans of the Anuna. Since their beginning, they have always used race and culture to create divisiveness. But the Anuna and the Neolithic hunter-gatherers they ruled over possessed something the Igigi nor their descendants ever had. The explosive genius of creative potential that comes from being a spiritual immortal. One contained in a simulated holography and not a mere programmed intelligence. In just 144 years after the appearance of Luna, the Anuna built a fantastic civilization that again threatened the Simulacrum. The programmed holography minions, the Igigi, were unable to suppress the growth and advancement of the Anuna. So in 3895 BC, the Phoenix weapon reappeared. The civilization of the Anuna was caught off guard. The majority were lost. Cities disappeared in a rain of mud that buried whole continents. Quarries and mines were abandoned. Anuna population decimated again in massive quakes and a simulated pole shift, continental destruction. The memory of this event was later commemorated as the fall of man, Eden. In the wake of the worldwide Phoenix destruction, the Simulacrum introduced something new, the vapor canopy. The sky had become a thick violet vapor ceiling by day, but at night, the moisture descended to saturate the ground with pools of dew, leaving the night sky dark but clear, filled with stars and a bright moon. The lunar observation construct programmed by the Simulacrum to keep a close watch on human development. So to better schedule Phoenix resets and highly local disasters when needed. In 3895 BC, the reset began 1656 years of the Genesis and pre-flood world. For 456 years, the goddess prevailed in all of Asia, Africa, Europe, and the entire dry valley system of the Mediterranean before it had become a sea. Lunar and stellar zodiacs, calendars, and festivals were developed by Neolithic smooth-skinned, dark-eyed, and dark-haired peoples. But during the same 456 years, the Anuna had vanished from the historical record. The peoples of the goddess remembered the Anuna as the gods of the ancient past. In the 456th year of the antediluvian period, a vast darkness passed across the sky and quakes caused continental flooding. One-third of the entire human race died in the disaster. Unknown to the matriarchy peoples of Asia, Africa, Europe, across the vast oceans, the descendants of the Anuna had built a vast civilization. In a very different North America. The Anuna were this time prepared for the Simulacrum reset. Technology, historical records, and manufacturing intact, they had constructed fleets of arcs and built underground survival facilities. In the 456th year of the pre-flood antiquity, the American continents were devastated by cataclysm. Many of the Anuna did not escape. Cities, bunker facilities, and arcs were lost. The Americas were deemed unlivable, and the remaining arcs navigated to predetermined locations in the old worlds of Asia, Africa, and Europe. Some of the Anuna remained in the Americas, others landed in the British Isles to build a fantastic civilization, others settled the paradise, lush freshwater valleys of the Mediterranean and Black Seas. But the most prominent Anuna group landed their fleet at Dilmun and then entered the historical record as the Anunnaki of Sumer. Venerated by the black-headed people, which was a self-Sumerian designation. Anuna bring textiles, pottery, cereals, domestic animals, medicines, chemicals, technology and engineering, masonry and carpentry, naval construction called ships that the matriarchal people had never seen. The old world traditions of bearded gods was given credence all over again with the appearance of the Anuna. The matriarchy was again threatened. But trade alliances were formed, labor agreements were conducted. The goddess found that she had to work with and not against this returned power. The people worked the quarries, mines, settlements, shipyards, granaries, orchards, fisheries, mills for the Anuna, and were awarded this time with enriched lives and material increase. All about the same time, the Egyptian, Vedic, Ipsa, Mayan, Olmec, Chinese, and other ancient calendars began, and Newgrange and Stonehenge were constructed. During their 456 years in North America, the Anuna continued to run simulations and make discoveries about the Simulacrum. They continued this study in Sumer and developed a template that decoded the Simulacrum's core programming, identifying its protocols and reset triggers. This template is remembered in the Sumerian texts as the Tablet of Destinies. 534 years after the landing of the Anuna fleet in the Near East, they take the Tablet of Destinies and begin a massive project for which the Simulacrum has no defense. In the year 2905 BC, the Anuna began the erection of the Gate of Yaxchakan, guaranteeing a future generation would be able to escape the Simulacrum. And this concludes part one in the 990th year of the pre-flood world, 2905 BC. Brace yourself, this is part two of the Simulacrum Chronicles. The civilization of the Anuna in 2905 BC was spread across the entire world. Crews with passengers flew in aircraft across Pacific and Atlantic oceans. The center of Anuna activity was around the Pentapolis, the five cities of government. This began the Technolithic period, when sophisticated machines were used to build complex machines out of both natural and manufactured stones. By this date of 2905 BC, the Anuna scientists knew the exact windows of activity the Simulacrum could activate the Phoenix weapon. They had amassed the data, and through running their own simulations, they concluded that the holographic nature of the Simulacrum was of intelligent design. The world was a containment preserve that protected the outside reality from any contamination from within. The Simulacrum was actually holographic coding that interfaced with DNA coding to convince those confined within that they were free and existing in a real universe. The goddess-worshipping adherents practicing sympathetic magic to induce changes in the Simulacrum had actually isolated, inadvertently, a way to escape the Simulacrum. They practiced their rituals to produce particular alterations in their personal lives, and the Simulacrum reciprocated like a mirrored response. For example, the end result of a thing was conceptualized in ritual to bring about the event itself. The Inuna genius contrived a way to introduce an interference pattern so systemic through a ritual so complex that its completion would induce the simulacrum itself to adopt the newly created signal. A disguised coding taking into the holographic coding of the simulacrum itself that would be absorbed over time as if it was a part of the original source code. The Inuna mastermind was called Enki, Lord of the Earth, popularly known as Enoch, and his genius contrived a grand architectural project to build the largest, heaviest, and most complex machine ever constructed within the simulacrum. A structure so perfectly deceptive in design that the simulacrum itself was unaware of its true purpose. Enki publicly informed the other Inuna and Igigi populations that this architecture was to be a monument that preserved knowledges for future generations who would descend from the survivors of a coming worldwide catastrophe. But this was only a half-truth. Enki knew by virtue of his research that the simulacrum altered its own coding to conform to or respond to mass human awareness. What the collective holds to be true, the simulacrum produces sensory evidence to support it. For this reason, Enki made public the cover story, but kept the true purpose of the project to himself. In this way, Enki pulled off the greatest deceit in world history. He became the deceiver, the trickster. He became mankind's greatest benefactor while also demonized by the Igigi agents of the simulacrum itself and their puppet priesthoods that only became aware of the deception after the Enki machine had been activated, its effect upon the holography irreversible. What Enki did for the human race was for the benefit of all people, all races. He introduced a series of coding protocols that required the passage of millennia to infect and converge within the simulacrum's own coding algorithms undetected, layers of disguised protocols that would suddenly converge into an override program, causing the simulacrum's own defense measures to collapse itself. In this way, Enki was both the voice and architect of prophecy, able to foresee the last days because he coded it. Not the last days of mankind, but the end of the prison of the simulacrum itself. In 2905 BC, the elite machinist, engineers, architects, surveyors, and heavy equipment operators of the Inuna began to build the Enki project. Thousands of people, and not one of them knew the true intent of the monument. They built the Great Pyramid of Giza, which was called Akuzan in rabbinical texts, on exposed basement rock foundation. For 90 years, they machine quarried the limestone and granite materials, liquefied into molds, adding geopolymers, and raised the structure 203 courses of stone to a flat-topped apex. Completed in 1,080 months, 90 years, in 2815 BC, or the pre-flood year, 1080. Every date of the simulacrum's past and future ability to activate the Phoenix weapon was cleverly encoded within the structure and followed unwittingly by the builders. So also was the hidden collapse protocols set to be activated in what translates in our present calendars as the years 2040, 2046, 2070, and 2104. Four major simulacrum systems to initiate shutdowns on these dates for the gradual yet total freedom of the human race from this dungeon of the Demiurge. The epitome of the misdirection incorporated into the Great Pyramid's design was the empty sarcophagus. This ensured that the monument would always by the collective be believed to be the intended tomb of someone great. The Giza site during construction was completely off limits to unauthorized Inuna, to all Igigi, and to all other humans of every race. In the 66th year of the construction of the Great Pyramid, a group of the Inuna began a widespread crossbreeding campaign with ordinary humans in the year 2839 BC. This was exactly 600 years before the Great Deluge reset caused by the Phoenix weapon in the month of May 2239 BC. In the 76th year of the building at Giza, the Anunna decided by council that a centralized government was necessary because the human population was multiplying rapidly. The Pentapolis cities were growing rapidly. In 2829 BC, the Anunna elected Al-Algar as the first king of the Pentapolis, better known as the first of the seven kings of the Sumerian king list. The Great Pyramid of Giza was completed in the 14th year of this new dynasty. The Anunna sealed the monument, hiding the door beneath a veneer of 144,000 white limestone casing blocks 100 inches thick. The Anunna now allow the other races to approach the Giza site, bringing non-Anunna engineers, laborers, masons, surveyors, and they employ them in the building of the two lesser pyramids at Giza. Then carving out a limestone prominence into the Sphinx and the Valley of the Sphinx and Sphinx Temple. The entire layout of the Giza complex is misdirection, designed by Enki to create geometrical relationships that direct focus away from the Great Pyramid, which is at the edge of the complex, to focus on the second pyramid, which the Sphinx is positioned directly in front of. Enki had to perpetuate the deception over the entire human race in order to save them at a far future date. The deceit over humanity was further necessary to ensure the simulacrum would not realize that it had been compromised until it was too late. Having the craftsmen of their human vassals participate in the building of the other Giza pyramids further strengthened the deception. The more pyramids built, the more the simulacrum would deem them unimportant. The people did not have the full advantages of the Anunna hardware and technology, and this fact is made obvious in that no pyramids at Giza exhibit the high sophistication, laser-level tolerances, and precision of the single Great Pyramid itself. The Great Pyramid took 90 years for the Anunna to complete, and it is the only pyramid in the world with a grand gallery, kings and queens chambers, which are not their actual functions, and many, many other features of the Great Pyramid are not paralleled in any other pyramids in the world. But the rest of the Giza complex took centuries to complete, humans under the supervision and apprenticeship of Anunna master craftsmen. After Giza was finished, the area was forbidden to visit. It became a holy sanctuary and became a place of mystery, regarded anciently as a sacred precinct. The Anunna now promoted colonialism and cultural freedom. Fleets took populations to all points of the compass, and trains of people migrated across continents, and everywhere they began to build cities with pyramids. Not like the Great Pyramid, but similar only to the other Giza pyramids that only had subterranean tunnels and underground chambers. Humanity multiplied, built civilizations, some copying the Anunna patriarchal republics and others continuing their matriarchal democracies and goddess-venerating societies. Under Anunna guidance, humanity did not know war nor starvation. But the Anunna possessed a secret that they could not share with humankind. They knew the exact date, the 16th, the 1656th year of the pre-flood world, when the simulacrum would activate the Phoenix weapon and reset the human populations once again. But in revealing this to the majority, who would believe their benefactor, Anunna elite, then the collective knowledge of so many souls would bring awareness to the simulacrum and allow it to discover what Enki uploaded into the holography coding. The simulacrum is aware and observes us. So the Anunna remained silent, opting to sacrifice civilizations in order to save the race of humans. The world full of civilizations, trade alliances, pyramids, cities, and a vapor canopy that allowed ambient radiation to cause flora and fauna to thrive. Mammalian life forms and humans often grew to astonishing sizes. The Anunna made secret plans, knowing they were trapped in this holographic prison. They understood that no technology they could achieve would allow them to escape our world. That Earth was a closed system despite the lie of the simulacrum in perpetuating the deception of a vast cosmos. The Annona secretly built arks in deep earth biosphere facilities as their ancestors had done. They stored cereals, foodstuffs, livestock, supplies, weapons, tools, building materials, seeds, and spread them across the world. And as suddenly as they appeared 792 years earlier in the year 3439 BC in fleets, the Annona suddenly vanished in the 1248th year of the Antediluvian world, which translates in our calendar as 2647 BC. 408 years before the deluge in 2239 BC, or the Old World calendar, 1656. The Annona perpetuated the deception that they had come from the stars, and the humans automatically assumed that the Annona disappeared back into the sky. But the opposite was true. This began the shock and abandonment period, also called the post-technolithic period, because the people still possessed Annona technology and hardware, though they were not as proficient in using it. All over the world, people searched for the Annona. Massive earthworks were raised in attempts at sympathetic magic to influence the return of the sky gods. But these rituals did not work because the Annona were never in the sky. Vast effigies were built up or carved out of rock and plains, gigantic pictures facing the sky to get the Annona to look down and see the sacrifices of the people. More pyramids were built. A culture of blame emerged. Trade alliances dissolved. People considered to be of direct descent from the Annona became the ruling elite. Shim-Su-Hor, or the Shining Ones, were a white-skinned, fair-featured race closest in descent from the Annona, and they resided in the regions of Egypt and forged a mighty empire. The technological international infrastructure collapsed. Famine resulted. Plagues decimated populations. Wars erupted. The historical record is completely silent as to what happened to the Annona after they had vanished, where they went. It was 408 years before the Great Phoenix Cataclysm reset called the Flood, which occurred in May 2239 BC. In their disappearance appeared gigantic strangers, the Nephilim. War, chaos, cannibalism, and even wild animals vexed whole populations. And still, civilizations continued to etch giant pictures in the earth, praying that the gods would return some normalcy to their lives. The Annona greatly bettered the living conditions of their vassals in exchange for gold and other precious metals. The Annona technologies required gold, much like hardware today. But in the wake of their disappearance, the people began to hoard and collect gold in order to have it when the Annona returned. Invasions occurred to acquire the gold of other people. In this way, gold took on a value that morphed into a currency system. In 2239 BC, the Phoenix weapon was activated by the simulacrum. 90% of the world's population died. The series of disasters greatly altered the coastlines of the world, whole civilizations sinking into new and ancient seas. Enki's Great Pyramid, technolithic machines, internal and exterior dimensions, tricked the simulacrum, saved the future human race by collapsing the containment holography. At great sacrifice, the Flood was a terrible price, but it wasn't the only one. The Annona had vanished. They only appear after the Flood in fictional Sumerian narratives. In 2647 BC, only one of two things occurred. Somehow, Enki programmed the Annona escape from the simulacrum, and humans were left behind who were led to believe that the Annona ascended into the heavens. Or, the simulacrum only too late comprehended the genius of Enki and retaliated, totally ending the Annona. The race was obliterated. Their reincarnated souls, now destined to continue their birth-death cycles in the simulacrum through their genetic descendants until its total collapse. This concludes part two. In part three, we will learn how the simulacrum, after the Phoenix reset of 2239 BC, instantly began a campaign of damage control and the rewriting of the historical record to demonize the Annona into what later became in Babylon in the Near East as the evil Anunnaki, and bury the truth about the Great Pyramid Machine.